In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. St. John of Damascus, in the Paschal Canon that he wrote, which we sing when we begin Matins on Pascha evening, says this in the third ode, very joyfully. He proclaims this: Come, let us drink not miraculous water drawn forth from a barren stone, but a new vintage from the fount of incorruption, springing from the tomb of Christ, in whom we are now established. This hymn begins for us, as I mentioned last week, 40 days wherein water is a pervading theme in the church, culminating in a trilogy of gospels, of Sunday gospels, from the Gospel of St. John the Theologian, that focus on encounters of Jesus Christ with various people that take place in the presence of water. And how Pascha and how the church keeps placing these readings before us after Pascha, precisely for the reason to remind us that as Christians, as those who have put on Christ, we have been baptized into his death and into his resurrection. The church reminds us of that again, over and over again, throughout the 40 days after Pascha. And today we once again see our Lord Jesus Christ. He comes, he is tired in his humanity after a long journey, and he finds himself in the northern part of the kingdom, in Samaria once again, and he comes to the well known as Jacob's well. But he has no bucket with which to draw water, and this well is very deep. He is tired, he is hot. The gospel tells us that it is at the sixth hour. The sixth hour, according to their reasoning, was what we would call high noon. And that's significant for two reasons, which I'm going to talk about later. But here he is at this well, and he encounters this Samaritan woman. And breaking social, religious, and racial barriers, he begins to have a conversation with her, and he says to her, "Give me a drink. Give me a drink of water, please." And thus began a conversation that would lead her on a journey from racial prejudice to a selfish curiosity, followed by great wonder and discovery, and finally a conversion, and then her being rewarded by hearing Jesus say from his very lips that he is the Messiah. And that was the first time he said that to anyone. And he said it to a Samaritan woman. But all of this began because of the real thirst of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, showing to us that he is truly a human being, that he was truly man, as well as being truly God. The theme of thirst runs through the Gospel of St. John almost from the beginning. We find the story of the wedding of Cana, where they ran out of wine, and the Lord quenched their thirst by changing water into wine. Then comes this gospel, which we read today, of the Samaritan woman at the well. A couple of chapters later, we're going to see Jesus during the Feast of Tabernacles prophesy out loud in front of everybody, "If anyone thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. And out of his belly, he that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow forth rivers of living water." And later on in St. John's Gospel, we find out that on the cross of the Christ, the Lord says, "I thirst." St. John's Gospel is the only one of the four Gospels that mentions that, where the Lord said, "I thirst," before he passed away. The thirst of Christ is the gateway into the mysteries of God, my brothers and sisters. He who has made himself thirsty in order that he might refresh us, just as he made himself poor so that he might enrich us as well. St. Augustine says that when Christ thirsts, what he is thirsting for is for our faith and our love. This is no random encounter that he had with a Samaritan woman today. She represents, he says, the existential unhappiness of those who are thirsting and who cannot find refreshment anywhere. I said earlier that the sixth hour was significant in two cases. In the course of their talk, Jesus reveals to this woman that he knows everything about her. He reveals to her that she has had 5 husbands, and that the man that she is living with now is not her husband. Now, from the tone of the Lord's voice, I think we can safely deduce that she is probably not a 5-time widow, but rather that she is probably a 5-time divorcee. And according to the law of Moses, which the Samaritans did accept, they accepted the first 5 books of the Torah, the main reason for getting a divorce was adultery. So more than likely, I think we are safe in presuming that the Samaritan woman was a little bit of a promiscuous woman. And the fact also that she was coming to get her water at the 6th hour of the day also shows that she more than likely was an outcast in her own society. The 6th hour is the hottest part of the day. The hottest part of the day. Nobody comes to get water from the well at that part of the day. Carrying water is very heavy. You come early in the morning to get your water if you lived at that time. You came early to the well so that it was cooler when you had to carry the water back to your home to begin your daily duties. But being an outcast, she has to wait until no one else is around. Even today in that part of the world, from noon till 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they still take siestas so that they can get out of the heat of the day. So she chooses that time to come to the water. So just as the paralytic man in last week's gospel could not get to the water, so Christ brought the living water to him where he was, so too the Lord comes today to this Samaritan woman where she was in her own sinfulness there at the water. Again, St. Augustine says, and he was fascinated by this gospel, by the way. He wrote a very in-depth sermon, which was a blessing for me to read. He said this: by asking water from her, he wants the water of her faith, so that knowing her faith, he could satisfy her thirst by giving her the Holy Spirit, the living water, as a gift of God. But she must ask for this living water. She has to take that step. He will never force her, or he will never force you or I to drink from this living water. In the wilderness, we are told that the Jews were thirsty. They were very thirsty, and they were getting on Moses, and they told him that he better find some way to get God to give them some water. So God told him to strike a barren rock with his staff, and then would come a flow of water. That's the miraculous water that we sing about in that ode from Pascha, the miraculous water brought from a barren stone. But Christ is not offering a miraculous water to this Samaritan woman. He is offering her living water. He is offering her the Holy Spirit. We said last week the Lord is the giver of life, and so he offers to her a living water. And after a long and meandering conversation with her, she eventually ends up by begging him to give her that living water, that fountain of water springing up to everlasting life. Give me this water, she says, so that I may never have to thirst again. And then, by opening up her own sins before her, she slowly comes to belief. Could this be the Messiah? It says that the Messiah, when the Messiah comes, he would tell us all things. Well, this man just told me everything that I ever did. Could he be the Messiah? Are you the Messiah? Jesus says to her, yes, I who speak to you am he. And immediately upon hearing this, we are told that she forgets her water pot, she left it at the well, and she runs off, forgetting her own bodily thirst, to tell the people of the town that she lived in that she has met the Christ. She begins to be an evangelist. And they come running, and they beg him to stay. And I always think that's so significant, because the Jews, his own people, over and over again are telling him to get out, leave us. At the Gergesene, after he healed the demoniac, they ask him to get out of their coast, to depart from their coast. And he will do that. He will leave from us if we ask him to. So his own people ask him to go away. They tell him to get out. But the outcast of society, the Samaritans, the lepers, the harlots, the publicans, the tax collectors, they are always asking him to stay, to stick around, to sit around and talk. and he stayed with them for 2 days, and many came to believe in him as the Christ. Why is it that the outcast are those who are the ones who ask Christ to stay? Jesus answers that question to us himself somewhere else in the gospel when he tells us that those who have been forgiven the most are the most grateful. So it is with the Samaritan woman. She reaches out like a drowning person for the rope. She reaches out like a person who is dying of thirst to drink of this living water. My brothers and sisters, Christ, our God, seeks each one of us out in our own sins, in our own situation, wherever we are. He comes to us when we can't seem to come to him. He desires to give us the living water. But first, we must give him the drink of our own faith, the drink of our own love. And when we have given him this drink, as the Samaritan woman did in the gospel today, then he in turn can give us this living water which we need to get to the Father, to get through the trials and misfortunes of this life, to get through the hard times and all the crises that we will face. I will close this morning with a quote from my own patron, St. Ignatius of Antioch, which I found when I was preparing for this sermon. St. Ignatius, you may not know, was the child, the young child in the gospel, that Jesus called and sat on his knee and said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Well, St. Ignatius grew up. He lived his whole life as a follower of Christ. He became a priest. He became a bishop. He became the first or the third bishop of Antioch, which we just heard in the Acts of the Apostles today, was the first place where the followers of Christ were called Christians. So St. Ignatius was the third bishop of Antioch. And as an old man, in the year 107, he was arrested because he was a Christian. He was condemned to death, and he was sent to Rome to be thrown to the lions in the Colosseum. And he said this. He said, "My love has been crucified. There is no fire in me desiring to be fed in this life. But there is within me a spring of living water that says to me over and over again inwardly, come to the Father. Come to the Father." And even when he was given a chance to be pardoned, once he got to Rome, he turned it down because that spring kept saying to him, "Come to the Father. Now I can be a true Christian," he said, "when I come to the Father." My brothers and sisters, this is the whole mission of the life and the passion and the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, to show us the Father, to lead us to the Father. And he accomplished this at the sixth hour. And that's the other thing about the sixth hour. Jesus himself said that when I am lifted up, it is then that I will draw all men to myself. And we are told in the gospel that it was the sixth hour that Jesus was nailed to the cross and crucified. My brothers and sisters, come, let us drink from this new vintage, not the miraculous water drawn forth from a barren rock, but this new vintage springing from the tomb of Christ, so that like St. Ignatius, we can say and we can feel the irresistible urge to come to the Father. My brothers and sisters, let us come to the Father. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen.